welcome to our Lone Star Podcast. This is Wednesday, August 12th, a rapid-fire edition for closing day, trying to fit this in around everything else going on. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornatale, back with you from the Little House on the East Side, kitchen table style, once again, as we wrap up this Lone Star meet. And to do it, there was only one possible guest. You've heard from all manner of Texas breads throughout the corner of the meet, but there is only one people's champion. He's Jonathan Kitchen. JK, what's up?
What's going on, PTF? Getting ready to head over there, getting started for a new week.
A new week indeed. Folks can catch you on Fox covering Naira, doing all that fine work you've been up to. But I know you've been paying attention, especially with this revamped schedule, Sunday through Wednesday, to Lone Star. We've had a lot of fun this week with the Beat Spencer contest over there. But what folks really want to know from you, JK, and I know you're pressed for time, so we're going to do this a little different today. We're going to bounce through your thoughts quickly on this early double, and then I'll loop back and get mine. I'll look this up, but I believe we might have a mandatory payout situation to be looking at in some of these pools a little bit later today. But for right now, while we have you, let's dive in and talk about today's first race at Lone Star. What do you think is going to happen here?
I'm going to try to beat the favorite in this first leg. Uncle Artie, obviously, for Gustafson, who's winning at a very high percentage. Couldn't win for Brett Calhoun. Couldn't win for Stidham. I'm going to just say this horse is going to be overbet off the trainer's win percentage. And I'm going to go with the three, the Perfect Samurai, race two back on the turf at a big price. Turf sprinting was the number was good enough. If the stretch out can be handled, that horse should be interesting at a big price. And the first time starter, homebred for Winchell Thoroughbreds, the Tappet Colt for Steve Asmussen and Stewie Elliott, who got his 5,000th career win this week.
Not too bad. So 3-6 for JK. We'll loop back to my thoughts. How about this second race, Jonathan? We've got 2-year-olds on display. Maidens, obviously, 7 furlongs on the Lone Star dirt. What do you think in here to close out this closing day Lone Star Park double?
Yeah, these races are always tough. I'd encourage people to look at the will pays to have an idea of what horses are being bet in here. Yeah, in this race, I thought that a horse that was going to take some money in here, the 5 Pretty in Pink, the 3 Chimneys Farm horse, hasn't taken money in the past, but it's 3-1 on the morning line. I think the horse is probably going to be bet because Steve Asmussen shows up here. I think it's interesting that the Lone Star Racing Club horse shows up at 2-1 on the morning line as if somebody knows this horse is going to take some money. And I thought that horse was interesting, the 7. Carl Broberg wins a lot of races, but doesn't win at a huge percentage first out. But I thought the 3, First Lady of Song, was another horse you could try to beat Pretty in Pink with. And then the entry for Dallas Keene down on the inside, they actually drew to the middle of the field. But the 1 and the 1A, when you're looking at your past performances, Triple Happy and Hopping Jitterbug were two horses that I thought give you a little bit of a chance to try to beat that favorite Pretty in Pink, who... it's Asmussen, it's Lone Star. You know the horse is going to take some money.
No doubt about it. All right, JK, I know you've got places to go, people to see. We're going to cut you loose, and then I'll loop back, talk about these races again, and look forward to some potential mandatory payout situations a little bit later in the card.
Sounds good. Good luck, everybody.
Okay, let's loop back and take a little bit more of a look at these races. I can also confirm that we do have, in fact, 2 mandatory payouts at Lone Star tonight, both the pick 6 jackpot must be paid out. That carryover was $182,976. And then also in the last race, the Super High 5, which had $68,977 in the pot. So lots of reasons to pay attention to Lone Star. Let's go back to this first race of the early double. I think JK may have landed himself on exactly the right horse in the Perfect Samurai. This one should be forward, and there's just big questions, as he pointed out, about these favorites. Uncle Artie has been off for so long. Robo on a barn switch from a high percentage barn to a low percentage barn. I'm inclined, if we're playing like a longer pick, I might be inclined to use Robo, at least as a backup, especially if I had some strong opinions later in the sequence. But this is one in the double. I think I'm okay just opposing the 4 and the 7. I do want to use JK's 3. I'll mention that first-time starter for Steve Asmussen, this Tappet Colt, Super Cat Speed. It might just be the right kind of situation for a first-time starter. And I'll use the usual caveats about Tote and Paddock for this one. This is a horse in this field. This horse opens up at 6-1 or higher. That's probably the tote board telling you something. But if this one catches a little bit of money and or looks good in the pack, in the paddock, excuse me, I wouldn't mind having Supercat Speed on side. But it's a tough race. I think I'd be okay just taking a shot with those two at prices, given there's a lot of them that just look patently outclassed in this race. And then just so many questions about another. I wanted to try to make a case for Carrie's Man, but you know, this is a rise up the ladder. I'm not sure if this one's going to be able to handle and just hasn't been bet at all. I'm going to stick with the 3 and the 6 in this first race at Lone Star. Moving back to our second race, I'll start off by reiterating JK's advice to maybe take a look and see what's going on in the early double pool before race number one to see if you can tell any stories on any of these runners. I'm a big believer in Tote Signal. JK and I have argued about it in the past. He believes in it less than I do, but it still can be something with these long layoff runners and first-time starters. When horses, it's not just about who's being bet relative to each other. It's when horses are bet more than they quote-unquote should be. And I often use the morning line as a great example of that. It can be an indicator of liveness, and it might turn me around in a race like this 2-year-old maiden second race. I feel like you are supposed to be against Pretty in Pink, adding the Lasix here, and that could be a difference maker, but has just done no running and is going to catch all kinds of cash. I think Into the Fire is just too logical to ignore for me. The pedigree stuff on this one stands out. I mean, Uncle Mo, who is so good with first-time starters, even better with first-time starters when you filter that just for the 2-year-olds, and really just looks fit based on this workout tab, and out of a stakes-winning mare that won $138,000. So it'll be Into the Fire for me in this second race. Let's do a little bonus coverage. We mentioned that we've got these two mandatory payouts. The last leg of the pick 6 will be race number 11. That's also where our super high 5 will get paid out. So I'm going to take a quick look in this race. We've got a 3-and-up allowance for fillies and mares going 5 furlongs on the turf to close out this pick 6 and run out this super high 5 money. And in these spots, Speed of the Speed is usually what I like to play. That looks like it might be number 12, Lily Dell. This one, a flow move up coming out of the last two. I love the outside draw for giving options as well. I think Lily Dell is going to be the majority of my horizontal play. And I think vertically, in terms of the super high 5, I might make a wager where Lily Dell has to be first or second. Fancified is another I definitely want to play in this spot in the high 5 as one who should be running on late and one I think feels like a good one to potentially key in the 3, 4, and 5 spots. I just think trip-wise, things could set up very nicely for that one. And then just looking at overall numbers, Lady Green is another I just think has consistent enough performances that is one I feel like I can rely on to be somewhere in that high 5. I'll look to feather in other horses as well. But I think in the main for high 5 purposes, it'll be the 12 first or second with the 3 and the 4 somewhere. I do also want to mention horizontally, our guest from yesterday, CJ Johnson, has cherished in this spot, getting back onto the turf, first time in a long time. Blinkers come off. This is one who, on the best form, makes a lot of sense. And the run the other day as a favorite when beaten, probably better than it looks, in that I felt like that was a day that ground loss mattered and Cherished ended up wide. So this is another one I would definitely want as like a backup for horizontals. Not one I want to key in the high 5 particularly, but definitely one of the ones I'm going to feather in. And my approach in the high 5 is to, I don't really, if you're using the small minimum, a day like this, you can try to feather in basically some sort of weighted all keyed around the horses you like. That's the direction I'm going to go in here to close out this Lone Star card and to close out this Lone Star meet. I want to thank everybody who listened to these shows. We've gotten a warm response. We may even be trying to keep things going in a sense with a lot of these same horses and horsemen on this circuit with the sister track of Lone Star Park. We'll see. I'm getting ahead of myself there. But the fact that that is a direction we're leaning is a testament to the support we've gotten from you listeners and fans of Lone Star. Well, thank Jonathan Kinchin. I want to thank everybody who helped on these shows, including Nick Tamaro, John Pinder, CJ Johnson, Muggsy the Handicapping Labrador, who you hear there barking in the background. It's been a great crew and a new concept for us to do these short shows based on a single wager, typically with a little bit of a bonus coverage where appropriate. Lone Star Park, we thank our friends there very much, especially Brandon Lee. This is the second deal we've done with Brandon and Lone Star. We helped promote the contest last year as well. Always a pleasure working with him. Most of all, of course, we thank all of you, the listeners, from the bottom of our hearts. These shows have been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your Lone Star Park closing day photos.